So everything must come under God's order. Or the original, say the original intent that God had. Not necessarily what we see today. God had an original intent for everything. And he never changed that. Adjustments had to be made, but he never changed his intent. This was kind of funny when he shared. If a car is for driving, that's the original intent, right? I can't change the tires on the car by calling them wings and then say my car is an airplane. Just because I renamed them. Neither can we change the order of God just because society has renamed things. How many of you know things get renamed?
Thank you.
And then we try to adjust to what society has named them. But God has an order. Now, there are a lot of churches of what we call church. When you hear me say church, I'm gonna try to explain what I'm saying when I say church. Because most people, they only relate to church based on the building. They don't see themselves as the church. So most building churches have been established based on what people are used to. And not necessarily what is right. And this has created more division in the body of Christ. Because every doctrine, every denomination has extracted something from the word and built their doctrine upon that misconception of the word. Not realizing you got to give an account for everything you take away from the word that God said you can't take away. So if I say tongues is not of the day, then I'm saying, God, that's not according to your will for me. Then I have no use for it. So now what do you think my life going to look like without the power of the Holy Ghost? And if I say healing is no longer here, then when I'm sick, what am I going to do when I'm attacked in my body? I'm going to give way to sickness. As though healing has not been already accomplished for me. But see, you got a lot of religious buildings promoting that kind of doctrine. And then you get in a church that said they're a word church. Even in the word churches, we got differences. And none of them are right if it doesn't line up with this word. Woo, Jesus. But it starts in the home, because you bring church to your local congregation from your house. It always starts in the home. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Now, one of the things I discovered about that denomination thing, if you go back and read the Bible, especially in the New Testament, there was no such thing as the Baptist Church or the Pentecostal Church or the Presbyterian Church in Corinth. It was the Church of God located in Corinth, or the Church of God in Thessalonica, or the Church of God at Philippi. There was no naming. They were known by the region, but it was all one church. See, men made doctrines. Men made denominations, not God. And that started somewhere in the house, because somebody's house was out of order. And in order to feel like I'm still being churchified, I got to create something that makes me feel like I'm touching God. But it always starts in the home. Now, at 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm not going to deal with verses 1 through 11 this morning. We'll come back to that later. But let's begin reading at verse 12. For I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, this has messed up a lot of people. They took that to say women can't teach in church. And the most that she can be in a church is a missionary. And she's not going to stand in the pulpit. And for God's sake, you go to some of them, you better have a hat on or a rag on your head, because you're not scripture. And they're not going to let you be in there. You're not coming nowhere near their pulpit. And in some, they say, you can't wear no makeup. The devil is a lack, because some people need it. It sure make you look better. You ought to take a snapshot of yourself with and without, and then determine which one is better. And that's the way we normally like to see you, with it. Some of y'all, anyway, I ain't going there. But he says, I don't suffer that woman to teach the man. Now, what is he saying actually in that scripture? Because, see, this got to do more with the home than it does the church. Now, we think it's got more to do with the church. But Apostle Paul is addressing an issue that started at home. And it came to the church. Now, the church has to deal with it because it didn't get resolved at home. Look at verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So we see that this statement is still talking about God's divine order. What order is that? The man came first. And we can't change that. Now, our society have demoted men to where the women are usurping authority over the man. Now, see, here's what I'm trying to share with you. The rules change when you get married. Don't get married without understanding the rules. Because the problem is, you're still trying to act like you're unmarried, but you want to be married. And that's a problem in the home. And you bring that to the house of God. And you expect somebody to regard that because you run the house, because your man won't run it. I got to tell the truth. This was the issue Paul was having. The women was very discontent and dissatisfied because the men were not doing what they should have done. Paul teaching one way and the men acting another way at home. And the wives going crazy. They're trying to connect, and they have nothing to connect to at home. He's in outer space. He's on sports. He's on doing this. He's doing that. And they never, ever have spiritual intercourse. Now, see, we relate intercourse to just sex. Sex is purely physical. But before you can build anything, there must be an intercourse with the spirit. You can't build family on sex. So in the body of Christ, we have a lot of problems because we're trying to establish spiritual things on sex. And you can't. That's why once y'all go through that and you go through the emotion, you sweat a little bit and you get over it, you still got a problem because sex didn't solve it. Because it's a spiritual issue. And it must be resolved in the household. Ooh, Jesus. So this was just not a coincident statement. He said that it never can be different. It can never be different. You can't change the order. God made the man first. Now in the home, we work together. Say work together. But we function differently. Now, somebody has to be accountable. Who is that? The man. You throw a woman out of her role, your whole house is messed up. Your children will have problems they're going to be rebellious because that's not her role. She's supposed to help you raise the children. She's not supposed to take your job over. And most men, they just turn the kids over to the wife, then they say something every now and then to the child. But they have no instructions for their children. Every instruction comes through mama. That's wrong. So then when your child look at your wife more than they do you, it's wrong. You should be the leader. See, that's a subtle way of usurping your authority. The child don't have to come to dad anymore. Everybody go to mama. Don't look at me like I'm starting a riot. For those online, get ready. I got to teach you the truth. That's all I'm called to do is to teach you the truth. And when you understand truth, you live better. And then you wonder why men are under attack in their bodies so much. Men are more sick in this time than I've ever seen. Why? Because you're in a demoted position. Sickness have access to you. See, that's not going to ever change in the intent of God. He made you first so you can lead. And you're supposed to set the vision for the house. I don't care how much your wife complains. You're supposed to set the vision. And if you can't get her in order, then you need to carry her to the Lord. Bring her to the church. See, that's how you do that. You don't keep trying to, I'm supposed to submit to her like she ain't submitted to nobody. Not yet. You say, well, can it be done? Yes, but you had to grow up and be totally different. She's already branded you. And you may not like that, but she's already branded you as being weak. And she can talk you in anything. Because see, that's that power of persuasion and influence that all women have. It's supposed to work to the good of the family so it can work for the good to the church. Not to the destruction of the family. See, God doesn't contradict himself, and he doesn't lie. And it's not about how much you understand. You're supposed to get in there and learn it. And you're supposed to be in a church that teach you stuff like this. Church is not so you can come and feel good and walk away like you done had a all beef mac. You're supposed to feel good, but you're also supposed to get corrected at church. And that's what Apostle Paul had to do, right? He had to correct them. Because if not, they were going to keep right on doing the same thing. And the women was going to eventually rebel, which a lot of women did. They rebelled. You think rebellion started in the man? No, rebellion started in the woman. That's why she's so good at it. Because it started with women. Man, you don't have to pay attention to that, but you better hear me. Now the man was there not paying attention to her. But you know, once you start doing wrong, if your man don't catch it, rebellion grows. All right. So Adam was first formed, and he was to bring the authority to the house and keep it there. This does not mean women don't have any authority. In the body of Christ, we are equal. Spiritually, I can cast out demons just like Dr. Davis did. In your house, your wife should be able to cast out demons just like you. But functionally, we can't be the same. God established that. You can't be the same. Because why? There must be a fitting. That's why one is called female and one is called male man. Because we were designed to need one another. Always. Shh. So this put restrictions, legal restrictions, on what I can do once I'm married. This is why Apostle Paul said, I wish that all of you were like me. Stay unmarried so you can attend to the things of God only. He said, now, if you desire to marry, you haven't sinned. But you got to understand the rules of marriage. That's why he said, now you got to pay attention to your wife or your husband as well as God. It takes a tactician to do it. And most people are not tacticians when it comes to marriage. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So a woman can't change this even if she wants to. No more than a man can be a woman or a woman be a man. It is impossible. And they can rig stuff up, cut it off, jack it up, turn it around, puff the lips up, you still a man. You can try to have a baby if you want to. You're going to die in the process. Because you don't have nothing inside of you to support a baby. Can't do it. They can try to put a ovary in you or a uterus in you. You're going to die in the process. Because you came out a man and that's what you are. And women, you can see, you can't allow it. And see, what is creeping into the body of Christ, we're starting to accept this as normal. I don't care who's doing this, not normal. This is why God is really big on the marriage being one, because we represent him when we are one. We represent him, especially those in the body of Christ. We represent him. A husband and a wife can stop looking like God when they separate in their motive and intent. Because God is a God of oneness. God will leave your house when you start separating. See, that's what divorce is. You get two visions, and you don't even have to be apart from each other physically. But you can have different motives and different intents, and you got a divorce. That's all a divorce is. It's two visions trying to live under the same roof. You say, well, I want to start a business. And your husband said, we can't do that right now. You said, but yes, we can. We can do this and we can do that. We can do this and we can do that. Men, if you got a check, say it's not time, you better tell her the truth, say it's not time. Oops. See, I had a lot of aspirations when I first got. I mean, I was talented. I could do certain things. But I had to submit everything that I was unto the marriage. And you had to let those things develop. Say develop. And your husband says when that can happen. Oh, Jesus. See, you don't like that term. But if he's the guardian over the house and he's the leader, he got long-range vision and he can tell whether or not if that's going to be a problem for him and you. And if you don't trust the man you're living with, women, then you shouldn't have married him. You need to get a new perspective from God about marriage. You need to get a handle on that before you start trying to venture out and do a whole lot of stuff. Because that'll eat up a lot of your time and destroy your marriage. Trying to be an entrepreneur before time. Nothing wrong with being an entrepreneur, but y'all got to be in agreement. And then you got to agree for how long, for what, how much time going to be spent, especially when you got children. You can't get this from society. If you look into their lives are messed up. Now, if that's what you want. See, the one thing I know about people and what I know about God, if you submit yourself to any of that, it has a right to come upon your household. Whoever you sit under and listen to, Everything that's in their life have a right to access you. You can't pick and choose what you want to get from that person when you voluntarily sit under them. That's why you need to be in a good word church, where your leadership loves the Lord and is faithful to the things of God. Called and anointed to teach and preach. Living a life holy. That's important to your life. Because that's what you got to access. So I'm telling you, we got to get it straight, because everything in your house comes back to the church. Now, how many of you know God is not a magician? There are some things you just can't pray away because it takes order. Somebody say order. Because of order, you cannot violate order. See, the privileges one wife may have with her husband because he's given those privileges to her, you can't do that with your man yet. Now, friends, y'all got to hear me. You shouldn't be competing. You should be building one another up. Because there was a time when I couldn't go and buy stuff like I did when my husband was alive and like I do today. But I had people that loved me enough that didn't expect that at that time and put that kind of peer pressure on me. See, that's impacting your house. I didn't hang out with people that wanted to shop every day of the week when I couldn't shop every day of the week. Because it's going to put you in a sinful position. Why? You're going to take the money that belonged to a bill and try to spend it. You can't hang out like that and it don't tempt you. I'm teaching practical things this morning because the house has got to get right so the church can grow. Now, I'm not asking you women if your husband treating you like hell. Let me tell you something. There's a law called you're not going to be happy. I don't care how much you try to be right. If he living like hell, he fighting you, beating you, cussing you out every day, you're going to not be happy. This is why when we get over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Apostle Paul taught us, said, there's a time where you have to separate in order so your faith can work. Not because you want to hook up with somebody different. But if he's depriving you, cussing you, beating you, you are not going to be happy. And you can't pray over that. I watched that in my home growing up. My daddy didn't beat my mama because he was too scared of us. Because we'd have beat him down if he hit my mama. We might have been disrespectful. I might not have hit him, but I had a couple of brothers that would have done it. But, you know. I think he raised his hand one time at mama and we saw him. But my mama believed in prayer. I loved that woman. Because when she was operating in the anointing, you better leave her alone. He raised his hand to hit her and he got stuck in midair and couldn't bring his arm down. He stood there like a statue. She walked away. We watching, my daddy was an alcoholic and he was, and you know, what we called the monkeys were riding. And one of them weekends, the monkeys were having a show, a guest or something. And he was going to show out. And mama started praying in the Holy Ghost. But see, she didn't have to live like that had she been taught better. She went through some things trying to put up with a man that was not going to ever do that unto her. Because the one thing he couldn't stand was the church she was going to. Now, I don't know why, but he said that. He didn't like that church. And it may not have been nothing wrong at that time, but I don't know. But if he said it, he had a reason. And sometimes when you hear your spouse that are unsaved complain, you need to listen to them. You need to get some more information. So, but if he's treating you like hell, you're not going to be able to find that place of peace where you can be an intercessor to break the bondage over his life. Not in the fire. But you're scared if you leave and somebody else going to grab it. You got to choose. Because, see, God know how to reach him where you don't. You might have to run to the hills for some refuge. Now, we didn't say hate the man, but you got to situate yourself so your prayers can be effective. Because that's a plan to keep you from believing God. It's hard to believe God when somebody hitting you upside your head. So God doesn't promote you staying in those bad situations like that. Never think you have to live like that. Now we see that Adam was formed first, then Eve. So this was God's divine order, because the family was established first, and church emanates from family. All church starts with family. Now that is the order, not only in the home, but in the church. Hallelujah. Then it says Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived. Now this is paramount. Now why did God say Adam was not deceived, but the woman? Because God gave the vision and the order of things to Adam. He established that in Adam. So Adam knew when Eve was getting out of order. And he didn't correct her. Because God put the order in him. That's why it was so paramount. That's why nothing happened when she ate the fruit. It didn't seem like it. But rebellion was building. See, the more she did, because I don't believe it was just one bite and this happened in one day. No, this was different encounters. Kind of like what y'all do when you want to wear your man down. You talk to them, babe, you know what? I believe we could do such and such, you know, we could do this and we could do that, and we can put this over here, and I'm going to help you with that. You know, they're going to work out. They ain't going to work out. They ain't going to work out. When a woman say, I'm going to help you with that, don't you put your Bible on that. Because if she ain't doing it now, that money have a way of taking wings, right? We're going to rename that money because it's still my money. Okay. But you see how Adam was supposed to set that order so that these kind of things wouldn't happen. But he stood back and watched her do rebellious things, knowing she was being deceived. This is why it was counted as high treason against him. Because he knew what was right. And it was his job to establish that in his wife. See, I'm gonna interject this. We're gonna close in just a little bit. See, wife is who you are when you leave home. That is not who you become when you get married. Your name changes to helper. And it's the assignment of the man to mine out of you the helper. That's the assignment God gave the man unto the woman, to pull out his helper. And if he don't pull out his helper from her, she has no assignment unto him. And all she becomes is a facilitator and an incubator. But never a helper. This is why we've had so much rebellion in the house of God. Because we got dissatisfied women. And for a long time, churches were flooded with unfulfilled women. You might see a man in the church every now and then, apart from the pastor. You might have two deacons sitting over there between a nod, they might have heard something was going on. And it shouldn't be that way. And since Adam was not deceived, but he watched his wife go into rebellion. Now, see, we don't like to think that about Adam, but that's what happened. Man, I'm telling you, because it's harder to reel them back in once they've tasted rebellion. Because now you got a lot of rework. And once we were talking about this in camp meeting, once a bone has been broken, it heals. It can be stronger. In fact, the marriage should be stronger after there's been some breaking. But you're going to have to break some things in order to get a home that God has called it. You got to break some habits. You got to destroy some idols and help her to see her rightful place, so she can be the helper that you need. And what most men do, they watch their wives and they encourage them, go and get that job over there. It's nothing. Listen, I ain't against nobody working. Don't shoot me no kind of stuff. I don't want to hear no bad emails and all that nonsense. I'm not coming against women working. But if your house is out of order, a job is the last thing you need. Okay. The Bible talks about putting a novice in a position of authority or an office, because he said once they get that, it's hard, they become unteachable because they think they have arrived. And women will think they have arrived once you give them that freedom and don't need you anymore, because they're making their own moolah. And they'll start shooting stuff at you as though they have all these rights and privileges. You said, that sounds like slavery. No, it doesn't. It sounds like order. The greatest blessing you ever live under is order. I am who I am today because of the order my husband and I established in the home. Now, he couldn't do it without me, and I couldn't have done it without him. But I knew where my limits were when it came to him, because I knew he was the set order. And there were times he made wrong decisions, but you can't beat him up for that. You got to grow with him. You got to believe for him, because he wasn't trying to do wrong. He just didn't have enough information. And when you understand that a man working hard every day and he make a wrong decision because he's trying to do something good for his family, you can't demote him. You're the helper. I know I sound like I'm really coming. See, this should have been in the marriage renovation, but we didn't have enough time. Now I can take my time. See, because this is affecting the church and how far a church can go. Because you got to carry the vision of this house. But if your house is jacked up, how are you going to help me build something here? Because your wife already got limits on you, how much you going to do. Oh, did I say something wrong that time? So it meant that what Adam did, he did it on purpose. This is why his penalty was so much higher than the woman's, because it was on purpose. You don't defect and turn in the king and reveal all the kingdom mysteries to the enemy unless you do it on purpose. It's too many protocols you got to go through. Even in your mind, you know what you're doing. when you're spilling your guts to that woman on your job about your man. You know what you're doing when you're talking to somebody else against your spouse. It's deliberate. I never would do that. And I tell any woman, I say, you crazy? I say, you still living with him? They say, yeah. I say, yeah, you got the issue. Why are you going to stay with a man that you're going to run down? Why are you going to stay with a woman that you're so dissatisfied with, that you can talk about her so freely to somebody else in a negative way? Because now you're tearing down you. You're tearing down your own house. That's why people feel so free to talk about the pastors, because they talk about each other at home. There is no sanctity in commitment in words. We can talk about anybody. I'm going to talk about you. Girl, I'm going to get on social media. Did you see what that man did? He just said such and such, such, such. So everybody know your husband didn't buy you something you wanted. But I'm going to be all right. Sometimes I just want to shoot social media and just go like, just see if it never existed, I could be all right. Because word of mouth is enough. But do you see how that creep into your house? And you tell everybody, explain, girl, let me tell you what he did last night. And I was upset for the next 3 hours. Why are you upset? Why would you tell somebody you upset with your husband for 3 hours? What's the point? What you want them to come over there and do? You say, I'm venting. No, you ain't venting. You're complaining. And you're working against your own marriage. My husband made some crazy decisions at times, but you weren't going to know it not from my mouth. Come on, none of your business. That was my man. And I was going to protect him. That's why the anointing flowed. And we were able to work together so easily because we honored one another. We respected the call of God on each other. We respected each other's position. All right, I'm going to come to a close because I feel like y'all about ready to jump over the moon. Because I'd have gave you a lot to deal with, especially those online. If you're not used to this kind of teaching, I know it's like, what? But that's all right. It's good for you. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. You know this one. Pastor Davis taught this one scripture 1,000 times if he taught it once. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I'm just going to deal with the line that says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So we discover that man is spirit, not flesh. So, but society renamed everybody man. So when you see the male, they call him man. But they drop the male when you should say mailman. He's a mailman, because man is spirit. It is not flesh. So we can't look at the man the way Satan has made man look. God made man something you can see. Satan made man something you can see. God did not. See, Satan reduced who you are on the inside to what you can see on the outside exclusively. So a lot of renaming got done. But God didn't do that. So you don't know how you are supposed to act, because you think what you have seen a man do is what a man is supposed to do. When you've never had a spiritual intercourse where you can actually see the man from the inside. But what you have seen is not even a man. It is the male, and there is a difference. And what changed this order for mankind? The educational system. So when you see a man, you see something different. You see a body. Because education, science told us that was man. God didn't say that. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So here we see. Okay, let me go back because I missed something. So man is on the inside. God does everything for us from the inside first, and it moves to the outside. Because God is a spirit. This is why he was able to make man after his image, because he's spirit. So you are a spirit first that is called man. You live in a physical body, be it female or male. And depending on which one you are, you have restrictions because of that body. Therefore, order has to be set according to what your body denotes you are. Not according to who you are, spirit. But according to who you are in this physical body. There are limitations and restrictions set for that body. Therefore, order, say order, has to regulate it. Now, every man who is a spirit has dominion and authority. We all have dominion and authority. Ah, glory. That's why God created you, because he wanted you to look just like him from the inside. Hallelujah. We have the same capability of creating just like God. Now, creating is what you do with your mind. God created man first, and then he formed him. That's the production of it. Creation is done in your mind. That's why your imagination has to be sanctified. Because that's your chamber of creativity. God has one, you have one. He saw you like him in his mind before he formed you. And then he decided what form you would take. Woo, Jesus. Now, in the image of God created he him. Oh, he created he him. Him, who are we talking about? The spirit man. Spirit. He created him. So there is no female in the spirit. Because sex ain't needed. Sex not needed in the spirit. Sex is physical, but there still has to be intercourse. Then it says, he created he, him. Then it said, male and female created he, what? Them. So now we got a difference here. So one is denoted as him. That's the man. That's the spirit man. Spirit man is called him. That's because God is a him. He's not a female, as some of the socialites would say. Oh, Jesus. Since woman came out of man had to be first. Okay. But because of what God needed the female and the male to do, he created those, he formed those bodies for procreation. Because he had to find a way to make two become one. That's why two men can't become one. Two women can't become one. You're not designed to fit but one way. And that's the way God designed it. Male and female. A perfect fit. And two can become one. When we follow the design that God made. I know I'm helping somebody. Because our society got everybody so confused. Even the church is starting to believe some of that crazy stuff. All right. Let me see if I can get over here. Okay. Now, look at verse. Stay right there, Jenda. Look at chapter 2. And look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, from the spirit, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now he's not talking, he's talking about the male man. He went inside of Adam and took out the woman. Okay. Now notice this. God gave the man his name because God made the man for himself. There's a lot encompassed in the term woman. God did something here that is not explained in here verbally that you have to have a revelation to understand. So hear by the Spirit of God. Get in the Spirit and he'll tell you exactly what it said. He already had on design some female because the man needed to be put in the female. The man, right? Spirit. Male and female are common to one another, like man and woman is common to one another. So woman, lowercase, if you look in Genesis, that's lowercase. When God called her woman. That's the spirit he's talking about of the female body, the woman. You said, I thought you said didn't have no female. No, but he's got to put it because she's not coming out of God. She's coming out of Adam. Oh, shucks. She's coming out of Adam. So she's got to be compatible for Adam. Adam was made for God. Man, you was made to be unto God. And out of you comes your helper. In you, you are designed to build a helper. Jesus. But you got to stay close to God to find out who she is and how you bring that helper out. Because the plan of God has to go forth. And God says, now, watch this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So much. I'm so full this morning. I'm trying to get it so you can understand what I'm hearing. See, we relate everything to the natural. When God told Adam, God said this with the lowercase w we see there, he's talking about now this woman is unto Adam. She is out of him. That's his spirit that came from him. She is a part of him. She didn't come out of God the way Adam did. Because she has to be compatible to be a helper. And then the body was formed. And then God says, I'm going to bring her to you. Now Adam gets to name her. And when you see Adam calling her woman, it's uppercase. That denotes position. Woman, my divine helper. Oh, my God. I call you my divine helper. Only Adam could do that, because that's his assignment. He was supposed to shape her, mold her based on what God has for him to do. Now, if you're married to a visionary, I don't mean somebody just got aspiration to do stuff. I'm talking about a Bible visionary. You got to, it's a job worth living with them if you're not used to being around visionaries. It's a whole different life. That's why most people don't understand it, because it's a whole different life. When you live with a man that's full of God and they begin to build things and they begin to shape and mold you, some of the stuff your mama taught you, you got to lose. Some of the stuff you heard on the street, you got to lose it. Because why? He's building you for the call of the ministry, not so you can stay the same when he married you. He got to get a helper, not a girlfriend. Not a live-in girlfriend. He needs a helper. But if he's off the job, she gets to rebel. And she become whatever she see herself being. Come on, stand to your feet. Because I feel like I'm pushing y'all to the brink. This is not slavery. This is joy unspeakable. I loved it when my husband, I was telling Sister Mary, I thank God for my, I call her my Mary, because she always helps me. But I was telling her one day, I had to learn how to buy certain things for myself because I never had to consider it. And one of them was perfume. I never had to consider it. My husband knew my love of perfume better than I did. And he would just order it. He sent my son to go get it. I never had to consider those things. You said, what? I never asked for jewelry. I never asked for furs. I didn't have to. That was part of his love towards me. And he just did them. Because when you're building a helper, you understand what your helper does. Man, you'll never demote her again when you understand how important the helper is to your vision. You don't get married and then shoot your wife because you're killing your vision. You can't have no vision from God that put your wife down. So what, she don't look like what you thought she was going to turn out to be? It's still your wife. You don't get to change in midstream. You got to help build her, to fine-tune her, make her who you need her to be. That's your assignment. Or she'll never become that. She will attach herself to all kinds of projects trying to be fulfilled. She'll go places and do stuff, and you don't even know she had it in her because you are not building her. But she be like a shipwreck, because if you let her stay rebellious too long, you got a problem on your hand trying to reel in. Because she got a taste of that rebellious freedom. And something has to break. And you're going to have to hurt her feelings a couple of times. But you got to man up and let her know and reassure, baby, this is for your own good. And I'm just telling you, some of you men, you're not going to prosper until you tell your wives to come home. So you can build something. You put her out there on the block just like you on the block. When the prosperity right in your house. I can't tell you how many times we told people that, and it looked like it was a dangerous move. But when the wife came home and they began to do things, and I told one couple, I said, look, time for y'all to have a baby because God needs to increase you. I mean, It was so quick, you could blink. And my son-in-law got increase after increase after increase. Now he getting ready to have his own, can I say it, baby? Getting ready to have his own business. You know why? Because he took her off the block. I don't mean that in a negative way, but y'all know what I'm saying. See, sometimes what we're looking for is right in our house. You just got to build it. So, man, I'm encouraging you today. I'm not trying to make you seem like you're no good or not. That's not what I'm saying. But you got to work at this project. You got to build it. And you got to recognize the deficiencies of your wife, because she's not as strong as you think she is. You've made her have to bear some stuff. Put her out of position so she can't help you. You're making her think for you. Get on my nerves. Ain't nothing like a man that can't think. If he can't think about what you're going to do for the week, he ain't got much going on. Because my husband would get up, and he'd say, okay, babe, this is what I need you to do for me today. Okay, you do, and I make it be simple stuff. He said, I need you to do such and such. He said, now what you got to do in the house that you think? And I tell him, I said, well, this is what I got planned for the house. What can I not do so I can do this for you? Because if it means I can't wash today, you got to be willing not to have no clean clothes for tomorrow. That's how you work together. And he would say, okay, he said, I tell you what. He says, well, don't do that, do this, and then you go ahead and do what you got to do in the house, and we'll work on this together when I get home. Boom. Plan. We make it so complicated. But if you don't give that woman something to do that relates to you and your vision, she's going to find a job. And you ain't going to like it at the end product. And neither will God. And women, I'm saying to you, don't you be obstinate. Don't you be rebellious and uncooperative. I got a definition I didn't get to. Don't be defiant, because it's not going to work to your good. It won't work to your good, because God will protect the man if he's doing right. If he's willing to do right by you, don't you work against him. This is why 1 Corinthians talks about in chapter 11. Many are sick in the body of Christ. Many are weak, and many die prematurely because they don't discern the body. They don't understand who they're connected to and how you fit in the home and how you fit in the local church. We got much more to go. Did you learn anything today? Hallelujah.